Would you turn in your scripture to a psalm, Psalm 51? Psalm 51. If you could stand reading for the reading, we'll just read four verses here. As I begin to read and begin to speak tonight, you'll hear from the message many things that's already been said tonight, and know that God has been talking to us throughout this whole service. In fact, even before service, I was asked questions and that were directly related to this message tonight. I also will try to be true to my promise. If I'm a little long on Sunday morning, we'll see what we can do about shortening it, Lord willing, on Sunday night. I'll leave that for you to consider whether you believe that or not, but you can. Psalm 51, verse 10. Oh, it's a cry. This cry didn't come from the head either. This didn't come from the head. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. It had been noted that David had a heart after God's heart. Now something's happened to David's heart. I'm going to preach tonight on simply this, getting it back, getting it back. Hallelujah. Father, speak to us. Prepare our hearts to receive from you, to hear from heaven. Lord, anoint me to speak those things which you'd say to this group of people. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us like you have been all day. Draw us close. Draw us close. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I have used the title tonight, Getting It Back. And the it I want to define. It is the way your heart was. It, the way your heart was when it was on fire for God. That tenderness to God. That joy of the Lord. That love of Jesus, getting it back. What's it? It's what you felt when you were first saved. Can anyone remember that? The it is what you felt when you were first saved. The it might have been what you felt or experienced after a tremendous revival. The it, many of you have been to Bible school. The it may be what you experienced at Bible school during those prolonged times of seeking the Lord. The it might have been an experience at youth camp when you felt the Holy Spirit all over you, within you, the very power of God. The it may have been a supernatural, extraordinary intervention of God in your life. That's what I'm talking about, getting it back the way your heart was then. Amen. I believe there's been a stirring all day, and you already know what I'm talking about, and you're saying, oh, I want to get it back. As I begin to think along this, I was praying yesterday, and the Lord began to drop this into my heart. And for some reason, I kept thinking about a vacation several years ago. We went to Florida, and I began looking through the phone book for a place to go to church on Sunday morning. That's a chore, and trying to find. And finally, I settled on a church from a denomination that I grew up in and was accustomed to. And you never know on vacation what you're going to get into when you visit a church. But I remember we had some of Sandra's family with us, and we pulled in, and the parking lot was full. There was no parking places on the main lot. And they had a vacant lot next to the church, and we pulled over on the grass. And when you got out of the car, people getting out of their cars and heading from church, you could hear them shouting, praise the Lord to one another, hallelujah to one another. We went in there, and the church was longer than this, about this far across. It was packed, completely packed. packed except for a few seats up front. They'd save them for visitors. And they marched us right up to the front. I mean, from the very beginning, every song, everybody stood. Everybody had their hands in the air. Everybody was praying. Nothing perfunctory, nothing ritualistic. It was coming from the heart, people seeking the Lord. The atmosphere was charged. People were excited. People were moved. Folks had been getting saved. I don't know where that church is today or what's happening there, but I'm telling you, when you ever experience that, you know what the it is. That's what you want. You want that enthusiasm. Oh, the word's already used tonight. You want that passion. Amen. And the thing is, many of us have served God long enough, and it doesn't take long, but you remember that time when your heart felt like that church was. Everything was hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. You felt the presence of God. You felt the eternal presence of the Lord. You felt the Spirit of God. Amen. And you don't like it tonight, that your heart's not there right now, that your heart don't have that love of Jesus, that passion, and there's something within you that says, I want to get it back. I want to get it back. I want my heart to be like that. I'm convinced we don't need to know more. We don't need to hear more. We don't even need to experience more. But we need a refreshing of what we already know. We need a refreshing of what we've already heard. We need a renewal of what we've already experienced. Hallelujah. And since it deals with the heart, getting it back, it deals with the heart because it was lost, amen, from the heart, and it's only going to be regained in the heart. It's a heart matter. I said it's lost from the heart, and it can only be regained in the heart and with the heart. And that's why I felt compelled to turn to this passage. And this psalmist David cries out, create in me a clean heart, O God. Amen. This is after David's sin of adultery and being an accomplice in a murder. Amen. David has sinned drastically. David has sinned against God flagrantly. But make no mistakes. Make no mistake, it is with us as it is with David. Sin will take it away from us. I said sin will take it away from us. Sin will take away the love of Jesus. Sin will take away the tenderness towards God. Sin will take away the joy of our salvation. Sin will take away the sense of His presence. That is for sure. That is unmistakable. But I'm convinced it doesn't have to be sin that takes it away. Amen. It can just be life happening to us. I said it can be just life happening to us. It can be the cares of this life. It can be the hard knocks. It can even be the everyday grind. Amen. That takes us away from us. Whatever it was, sin, whatever it was, the hard knocks, the trials, the temptation, whatever it is, two things. Number one, just confess, I've lost it. And then number two, amen, say, I'm going to get it back. How do you do that? You start where David did when he got it back. How did David get it back? Oh, he began with confession by saying, create in me a clean heart. Oh, have you prayed it lately? Have you prayed to God? You know, before you'll ever pray, create in me a clean heart, you've got to have a desire for a clean heart. Oh, God, create in me a clean heart. Even I've prayed that many times. And one time I began to think about the word create. And it dawned on me, I can't ask God just to straighten my heart up. I can't ask God just to rearrange my heart. You see, the word create indicates that I don't even have the stuff in me to make a clean heart out of. If He has to create it, it's not there. Amen. It's kind of like you ladies getting an urge to bake a cake, and you get all excited about it, and you go in the kitchen and you get the bowls out and you turn the oven on and you go to the cupboard and open the door and discover you don't have flour, you don't have baking soda or whatever else you put in it. Amen. You might have had a desire, amen, to bake that cake, but you didn't have the ingredients. You see, amen, I've got a desire for a clean heart. I've got a desire for an on fire heart. But I all of a sudden realized I don't even have the ingredients to make that kind of heart. I don't possess it, but I can pray unto God, create in me. I'll tell you why I can pray that. Because God is the one who created everything you see out of nothing. And you may have nothing to offer him, but he can create in you a clean heart. Oh, aren't you glad he can do it? I don't want to weary the point, but I begin to ask myself, well, how? How does God create? And I went all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I could read verse 1, but I'll go right to verse 2. And the earth, we know this is a creation account. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. That's how God creates. Number one, the Spirit of God moves. Number two, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. How does God create? The Spirit moves and God speaks. If I have a new car created, a clean heart created in me, it's because the Holy Spirit moves upon my heart and God speaks to me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We read that account of creation. God made the stuff, but the stuff was chaotic. The stuff was without form or void until the Spirit began to brood, till the Spirit began to hover over that darkness. And suddenly there's not chaos anymore, and there's not darkness anymore. There's light and there's order because God has created. Could I tell you the shape this stuff was in because God moved upon it and spoke to it? That's just like our hearts get. Our hearts get without form. Our hearts become void. The chaos is there. The darkness is there. The turmoil is there. The trouble is there. The struggle is there. But could I tell you the same Spirit of God that moved on creation and moved upon that darkness and chaos, that same Spirit of God can come upon our hearts, hover upon our hearts. And as the Spirit hovers, God speaks, and suddenly created within us is a clean heart. Oh, aren't you glad for the creative power of God? Oh, hallelujah. Getting it back. The it is always in a clean heart. You'll never have it unless the heart is clean. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to lift a hand, but does anyone here desire a clean heart? I want a clean heart. I want clean thoughts. I want clean motives. I want clean attitudes. I want clean emotions. I tell you, that's where the it is. It's in the clean heart. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And then he said, as a couplet to that, he said, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Our spirits are like the front end of our car. They get out of alignment. They start pulling the wrong direction. We get upset at things we shouldn't get upset, and don't get upset at things we should. Our spirit gets out of whack, out of ping, out of calibration. Amen. It just gets all messed up. But if I want it back, I will pray, God, renew a right spirit within me. Oh, would you like to have a right spirit tonight? I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying God's been talking to us all day. Amen. Some of you don't need a new place, a new job. Amen. You don't need to find a new faith. What you need is to let the Spirit of God give you a right spirit, a right attitude, a right outlook, a right perspective. Amen. If you've heard me preach long, and you know that I teach this because I believe it's true. You can be right and still be wrong. You can have right doctrine and still have a wrong spirit. You can be right in your political position and still have a wrong attitude. You can be right and still be, oh, I want right doctrine. I want right beliefs. Amen. I want right way of worship. But beyond all of that and with all of that, I want a right spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Look at that man Daniel. He has an excellent spirit. Look at that man Moses, meek above all the earth. Look at Jesus, meek and lowly and gentle and kind. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, give me a right spirit. Amen. The it is in a right spirit. Amen. And then I want us to think of this from this psalm. One of the main evidences that somebody that really has the Spirit of God at work in them, well, the main evidences that somebody really has the moving of the Spirit at work in them is that they never want to lose that. If God has ever truly worked in you with His Spirit, if God is moving tonight by His Spirit upon you, there is something in you that says, I never, ever want to lose that experience. I want to tell you, if you have ever known God to move upon you by His Holy Spirit, there's something that says, oh, may I never, ever, ever get to a place where the Spirit of the Lord does not move upon me. That's why sometimes I preach with almost, I can't get a better word right now. I almost preach with a frustrated concern. Because some things folks get involved in, it's going to get them to the place that they're not aware of the moving of the Spirit. They're not open to the moving of the Spirit. They're not susceptible to the moving. But I want to tell you, if you have ever, ever, ever felt this sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove move upon you, there is something in your heart that cries out, don't let me ever get to a place that I'm not open to the moving of the Spirit. I'll be so glad you felt the Holy Spirit at work today. Oh, I'm telling you, not because I was up here, but at some moment in the preaching, I realized we were here in an eternal moment. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, and if you ever experience it, if you ever have known that, there's something in your heart that says, I don't want to ever, ever. You say you're repeating yourself, because I'm trying to get to how the psalmist expressed it. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He had felt the Spirit as he shouted as the ark of the Lord came down the road. He had felt the Spirit as the words to songs came to his mind. He had felt the Spirit as he played the harp. He had felt the Spirit as he wound up that sling and let loose that rock of that giant. And he said, oh Lord, please don't cast me away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit. How do we get it back? Amen. We are thankful for the Spirit of God, and something is in our heart that says, I don't want to ever, ever, ever lose the moving of the Spirit. I'll say no to this. I'll turn away from that because I want the Spirit at work in my life. You see, true believers desire to be on fire. True believers desire to be passionate, to be zealous, to be enthusiastic, to be all out for Jesus, to be in love with God. They desire that. They don't like a cold heart. They don't like an indifferent heart. They don't like a bogged down heart. They don't like a spiritually bored heart. They don't like a full of the cares of this life heart. They like a heart that's being moved upon, sensitive to the Holy Ghost, like a leaf in the wind that moves when the Spirit blows. Oh, God, take that not from me. Now, I'm going to say this. I get this from the psalmist. If you're feeling like, oh, no, I'm in trouble. I haven't felt the Spirit for a while. I haven't felt the Spirit like I need to. If you're feeling that, that is a good sign. David might have been in bad shape after his adultery, but it's a good thing that he feels the desire not to lose the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a good thing that he cries, cast me not away from thy presence and take not the... You say, how is that a good thing? Because if you're feeling that you're not feeling what you need to be feeling, that means your spiritual nervous system is still at work. Hallelujah. If you're not feeling the loss of not feeling the Spirit at work, you're in bad shape. If you're unconcerned, it's been a long time since you've been tender in the presence of God. You're in bad shape. If there's nothing in you that desires to have the shout of joy well up within you, you're in bad shape. Oh, but if you're missing it, if you're longing for it, if you're concerned because it's been a while since you've been free to worship, free to praise, you're in good shape. That means your spiritual nervous system is still at work. David might have had a lot of things wrong at the moment, but he had one thing right. He wanted to get it right. He didn't want to lose it. He wanted to get it back. Hallelujah. I remember times, and it's a real concern that we're warned about. Amen. Sinning against the Holy Spirit. But through my years, both the work in the Bible school and as pastor, I've had people come to me and say, I'm so afraid I can't be saved. I'm so afraid that I've lost out with God and can't get right. I'm so afraid I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit and God will never forgive me. I've always looked at him and I said, I can tell you of a certainty you've not gone too far. I can tell you that you've not blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I can tell you God's not given up on you. How can you tell me that with such surety? Because if you had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, if God had given up on you, amen, if you'd gone too far, you wouldn't be concerned about it. You wouldn't be asking me about it. Oh, but the very fact that you're concerned tells me why. I can tell you're wanting to get it back. Glory to God. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence. I'm telling you, folks, this thing is real. This isn't religion. This is the real eternal Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What should bother someone is they're no longer experiencing the Spirit at work in their life and they're unconcerned about it. You see, when it's all said and done, he prayed, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. How does God create a clean heart? I've already told you. How does he renew a right spirit? I've already told you. But let me summarize. He does it by his Holy Spirit. Could I tell you the Holy Spirit can create some things within us. Hallelujah. Amen. Sandra's hung a little plaque in our house that has the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and goodness and self-control and faith and temperance. And I may not have got all nine. Amen. I said, I wish you hadn't hung it there. It reminds me of everything I don't have. Have you ever read one of those things about the fruit? It reminds me of everything I don't have. Oh, but I want to tell you something. Creating me a clean heart, the Spirit can create love in you and me. The Spirit can create joy. The Spirit can create self-control. The Spirit can, there's that other one, can create meekness within us. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you want to get it back? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And last of all, from this psalm, getting it back, there are two things that makes it evident that we need to get it back. Two things make it evident we need to be renewed. They're found in verses 12 and 13. The psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. In other words, when I get it back, I'll have the joy of salvation and I'll tell others about the goodness of God. Could I tell you two evidence I've lost it is when I no longer have the joy of being saved. And number two, I no longer feel any compulsion to tell somebody else about Jesus. I need to get it back. But when I get it back, those two things will come back in my life. I'll have the joy of my salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many's glad you're saved tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some right now are saying, I want to get that back. I want to get the joy of salvation back. And I'm telling you, when I get it back, not only will I have the joy of salvation, but there'll be something in me that says, I want to tell somebody else. I want to tell a loved one. I want to tell a neighbor. I want to tell a co-worker. I want to tell a fellow student. I want to tell them about Jesus. You take somebody whose heart is cold and indifferent to the things of God. Hallelujah. They don't feel that. They don't do it. But you show me somebody whose heart is set on fire for God and they're looking for an opportunity to teach transgressors the ways. Oh, don't you want to get that back too? That compulsion. I want to tell them about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to get it back. Thank God for his Spirit. Spirit here today. Amen. Would you come, music? How many remembers God moved tremendously in last Sunday's services? But does anybody remember the unplanned theme that everything orchestrated around? To jog your memory, it was also the title of the song, message of the song that Sister Rebecca chose. Anyone remember what it was? He'll do it again. David, you sinned. You've lost the joy. You've lost something in that sin. But I got good news for you, David. He'll do it again. Oh, tonight you don't have what you had when you left that altar at youth camp, but he'll do it again. Glory to how many believes in a God that'll do it again. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it. I want to get it back as I have seen it in the sanctuary. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I will lift up my hands unto your name. I'm on a quest to get it back. Amen. That is what those that are hungry for God believe and seek. He'll do it again. You can get it back, and more than getting it back, you can go on to where you've never been in God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I hear a lot. Amen. And it's a concern of mine. I'm through with this. But I hear folks coming to me and say, you know, I don't believe it takes all that to serve God. I know I hit on this morning, but you know, there are people who call themselves Christians and they drink and they go to parties and they call themselves Christians and they don't go to church all the time. And so I don't think it's necessary to do all that. I remember years and years ago, there was a sister when she was on fire for God, she is on fire for God. But the moment her heart began to grow cold, she began to take on the things of the world. And more than taking on the things of the world, she would want to come to me and argue about them being okay and nothing wrong with that. And I remember one time, amen, I just said, sister, I want you to think with me. Remember that time you got up from the altar and the Spirit of the Lord had moved all over you and you had wept and cried and felt the joy of the Lord? Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember that. I said, what did you feel about those things when you stood up from that place of prayer? And she began to get it. She began to weep. Well, then I felt that they were wrong. Sister, you remember that time when the Holy Ghost used you and liberated? Do you remember that? Yes, I remember. Well, how did you feel about those things at that moment? Do you remember that time when you buried your face and God talked to you and you fully sold out to God? When you got up from that place of commitment, how did you feel about those things then? And she said, pastor, I get it. I understand the problems in my heart. Amen. That was a changing point. I said, that was a changing point. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I've got advice for you. Call it pastoral or whatever. Amen. If you find you're in a place you're justifying the wrong in your life, you're in a place you're finding the world attractive, you're in a place that you're thinking, well, there's another place called a church where I can be a Christian and I can do the, if you're doing that, I've got one bit of advice before you do anything. Get along with God and pray with earnest. David's words, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and then will I teach transgressors in thy ways. Would you stand tonight? Hallelujah. Let's praise him all over. And I'm not saying you've lost it, but if you want to get it back, hallelujah, would you lift your hands? Would you begin to worship him and say, God, I want to get it back. I want to get it back. Oh, hallelujah. I want a right spirit. I want a right spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I truly believe tonight the Spirit of God's at work just as much as this morning. And I'm going to give a simple, maybe you're wanting to get it back for yourself, maybe for the church. But I want you to come, begin to come right now and pray. If you're willing to pray David's prayer and you say, I want to get it back, would you begin to fill the altars? Amen. I want to get it back. I want to get it back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two evidences. Do you have the joy of salvation? Do you have a compulsion to tell others? Those are the two evidences right there. Joy of salvation, compulsion to tell others. Hallelujah. I want to get it back. Oh, let the Spirit of God move upon you. Let the Spirit of the Lord move upon you. I want a right spirit. I want to think right. I want to feel right. I want a right spirit. Oh, let's pray. Open up your heart to the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God hover upon your heart tonight. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. As he did at creation, let the Spirit of God hover upon your heart and let God speak to you. Listen to him tonight. Open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. They move upon you. Listen for the voice of God. Let him speak to you. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's eternal.